The first reading is a reading from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven alone, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful of use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, and to the Lord your God you shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or your female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to the neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believed. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block of Jews and foolishness of Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than the human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show to us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus has spoken. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. During Lent, we've been talking about our discipleship journey. Our discipleship journey begins at the font. On Easter Sunday, we will have four baptisms at this font. This is where our journey begins. But it doesn't just begin here. It continues in the water every day of our lives. Every day when we wash our face, Luther tells us to remember that we are baptized. And that is the discipleship journey that we are called to. As we've been going through Lent, we've been talking about very specific ways that we can be disciples. Ancient practices that Christians have practiced for a long time, praying and fasting, giving and learning. Last week we talked about praying, and this week we move to fasting. Fasting. What is fasting? In our modern culture, we don't talk much about fasting in the biblical sense. We talk about the fast of fast food, or fast cars, or fast high-speed Fios internet. We are all about fast. But of course, the word fast that I'm talking about is a different sort of fast. This fast means refraining ourselves, holding back from something that we might want or desire, or even something like food that is necessary for our everyday life. We talk about fasting in the Christian church to remember that we are dependent on God. There's nothing that we can do without God. Even in our fast food world, our high-speed internet world, we feel like we can get everything we need ourselves. I need food? I Google Chinese. I have food in 15 minutes. I need a new car, I Google new car, and I'm sure that there will be 15 things that will come up within a 5-mile radius. Of course, we feel limitations. We don't have enough money, we don't have enough time, but sometimes we don't feel those concrete limitations, those things that we can't do on our own. Fasting is something that we don't often practice. And yet it's part of the biblical tradition. We go all the way through. Moses fasted, Elijah fasted, Paul fasted, Jesus fasted. Most often we are talking about fasting in the sense of fasting from food, but there are other kinds of fasting. This morning, as we look at the Ten Commandments, we look at these things that Moses talks about. And most of them are refraining from something. You shall have no other God. Refrain from worshiping other things, from having idols. Fast from having other gods. You shall not murder. We must fast from killing the people that annoy us. You shall not steal. We have to fast to refrain ourselves from coveting those things that our neighbors have, that we would like to have. We have so much. And so to be called to step back is different to us. I know that some of you are fasting from things during Lent, perhaps fasting from food or fasting from soda, fasting from doing things maybe on Sunday that you would like to do. These fasts remind us of what we need. I want you to take out your hymnal. This hymnal is a resource. It's got hymns in it, of course. That's what makes it a hymn book. But it also has prayers. It also has the Small Catechism of Martin Luther. So turn to page 1160. Did anybody know there was even a page 1160? It's way in the back. Keep going back, back, back. It's about this far. And here we see these commandments that we read this morning. Take a look. Take a look at the way that they're put together. Each time there's a commandment, right? It says the first commandment. And then it lists what the commandment is. And then it says, what is this, or what does that mean? In German, it's was ist das. It's a question that little kids ask all the time. It's like, what's that, Dad? What's that, Daddy? Was ist das? And then after that, it starts the same way. Look at this. After those italics, look at all the lines. We are to fear and love. We are to fear and love. What's the next one? Under the third commandment. We are to fear and love. How about the fourth commandment?
We are to fear and love.
How about the eighth commandment? We are to fear and love. They all start, we are to fear and love God. And then look and see what most of them do. There's a line, and then it says, but instead. Each one is set up so that we are to refrain from something, but instead we are called to do something more. Luther realized that the commandment to not murder people, to refrain from murder, was more than just refraining from killing, but also was a call to abundant life, a call to live more fruitfully for God. When you refrain from things this Lent, think about that but instead. But instead, what are you doing instead of that? If you are refraining from, say, using Facebook, but instead we live and we pray for others. You're refraining from chocolate, but instead, every time you think about that chocolate, you are called to live in a way that draws us deeper into relationship with God. This morning we also hear about Jesus, who refrained from having the kinds of deeply troubled spirituality in the synagogue. That system was broken, and they were called to live out of that system. We are called to refrain from the deep brokenness of our own fast world, of the fast food, the fast internet, the speed that we normally live at. We are called to live in Sabbath. That's what it means to refrain from our busy lives, to live into our spirituality. This morning we have Anita and Vicky with us. We also have our counselors in the back. Please stand if you were ever a counselor. Now please stand if you were ever a camper at Caroline Furnace. Oh wow, I didn't know Arlene was a camper. Now please stay standing. Stand up and stay standing. If you were ever a camper at another camp, please stand. Or a counselor at another camp, please stand. How about if you've ever gone on a retreat weekend? Please stand. How about if you've ever gone to camp or just camped out in the woods? Please stand. All right, we have a couple left. Let's sit down. That covers pretty much everybody. Have a seat. When we take the time to spend away from our busy lives, we remember just how much we crave that relationship with God. This week, I invite you to live into the sense of fasting. You don't have to fast from food, but fast from something that makes you busy, that drives you crazy, and drives you away from God. And instead, drive back into the waters of baptism, where God has already called you and loves you all the time. Amen.